Peace to the gods, peace to the goddesses. This is another episode of Convos with Living Legends. And today we got a very special guest. This young man I've met a few years back. I remember he hit me up on the DM, which, you know, just asking me a few questions on how to, you know, what steps to take in becoming an author. And, you know, I was more than willing to share that info with him. And lo and behold, not only did he take that info that I shared with him, he took it upon himself and he outdid it. The amount that I thought he was going to pump out. But this man, he has a plethora of books. When I say plethora, you know what that means. First and foremost, let's give a huge round of applause for the God himself, Shelby, a.k.a. the hip-hop author. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I am doing great. Happy to be here. Chilling. Just chilling.
Well, brother, I'm going to tell you this. You know, on this podcast, Convos with Living Legends, we celebrate. We celebrate those like yourself, which I consider a living legend, because just to be alive, you are legendary, especially as a melanin being. And on top of that, if you're doing something positive for the community, that makes you extra special. You know, feel free to tell the people your list of accolades, the things that you have accomplished thus far.
So gratefully, what I've been able to do so far, really in the span of 4 years, I got 6 books, public speaker, a self-publishing class, spiritual elevation guide. I have merchandise, an outbook, an audiobook mixtape, a rap project, a clothing brand, a few other accolades, a few other things, but it's just, that's the main thing in terms of the realm of the writing career, though. Those are some of the main things right there.
Now, first and foremost, man, I kudos to you, God, for the things you're doing. As the folks already know, I'm an author as well. But to see this young guy reach out to me and ask me, you know what I mean? He picked my brain, and I was glad to share the info. So I'm grateful for the fact that, you know what I mean, the universe used me as a vessel to aid you in your success, you know what I mean? Even though I played a small part, but the mere fact that I was able to impart some knowledge that could, you know, I'm truly proud that I was able to, you know, to be in your journey.
Appreciate that. You was the root of it. I think I hit you up. It would have been 2017 now. I hit him up 2017, so 5 years ago from this interview, and I saw Kwame Meets Jackie Robinson posted. Hit you up right away, wanted to know more information on publishing a book, already had everything together, knew what I wanted to talk about. We got on the phone the first 30 minutes. I always tell this story in mad interviews I do when people ask me how I got started writing. The first 30 minutes, maybe even 20-something, maybe even only like 15, because I remember I called you like on my walk out of class back to my dorm. So I'm crossing campus on the phone. You giving me all the game and what I need to do for self-publishing. The next like hour and a half, we was on the phone and you were just being an OG, just rapping to me about life, just giving me all the other game, knowledge, information, gems that you already possess. And I think, I started writing that night. And then that first week, I had the first rough draft done. And then before I knew it, was working on the second book, like a month after the release of my first book.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Because, yeah, you was pumping them out.
Yeah. The third and fourth one then came, and that was 2018. I put that one out, 2019. Yeah, about 2019 was the other two. By 2020, I had book 5 out, which was taking my self-publishing class and putting that into a book, which that even came about because I had somebody that was deaf that came through my class. So because she wasn't able to actually hear the information and it was going to make it a little harder on her, I went ahead and put a book together so I could send that to her, and then went ahead and published that to the world. And then before my 25th birthday, I put out my 6th book, which is my autobiography, just answering the questions on how I got to where I'm at and everything that led up to that. So again, as I always say, you know, I appreciate you greatly. You was the source that gave me the information so I could start doing all of this.
The pleasure is all mine, because what we fail to realize, literature is a lost art. Language is a lost art. Words, you know what I mean? Just the mere fact, because people don't realize most of our communication is done through words, through our vocal, through what they say, the throat chakra. You know, so I ask you this, how important, how beneficial has literature, been to you and your journey thus far?
Super vital, super important. When I was in college itself, I actually took an English history class and just learning more about language itself than just as you even spoke on. Being able to understand and know how much power you have, what your words possess, as I talk about in my third book, I want to say Unavoidable Truths, and just how you speak life and creating spells with your words. Spells and curses is how I put it, where the spells are those that are working in your favor, curses working against you. And just as you put in terms of the throat chakra, being able to open that up to be able to express yourself, realizing and knowing the words that you're using. Again, English itself being a living language and a language deriving from these Latin root words. So it's a lot of words that we use that we don't even realize that we're putting curses on ourselves, but realizing and knowing how to use those to create these spells to go ahead and manifest, bring things into fruition for ourselves. But it's important. It's important. A lot of people don't know what they're actually saying. And shout out to one of my other OGs, Ascari. A lot of us are just babbling. We're just babbling, not actually knowing the words that we're putting together and what we're actually creating with the sentences that we're actually stating.
Now, talk that talk, brother, because I don't say morning. Because the reason why I don't say morning, what am I mourning? If I wake up early in the, on this beautiful day and I say morning, what am I mourning? When I woke up feeling optimistic, I'm feeling good about life, how can I be mourning? The term old, I don't like to use the term old because it's nothing about us is old. You know, instead, I'd rather say I'm this age young because I feel younger than I feel older. You see what I'm saying? And my thing is, yes, like you said, the English language has derived from the Latin language. By the same token, this English language is so evil in so many ways because a lot of these words have double entendres, in which some of these double entendres are if being used in regards to, making an opinion of someone, or it can be used in a derogatory manner. So like you said earlier, we got to watch the words that come out of our mouths. You know, for such a guy like yourself, you know what I mean? You know, you being in your mid-20s, what gave you this mindset? What, like, would you say is life experiences that you encountered that taught you the power of words?
Honestly, that would be the cliche to put it, but as I got older and started stepping more into my light, it wasn't even really, say, the physical life experiences I had. It was a lot of occultness, a lot of studying and learning, connecting into myself in the spiritual aspect, stepping more into my power, acknowledging the knowledge that I do actually have, what was there that was innate. I still got to learn and tap into the Akashic records. That's something I'm still yet to do. But yeah, there were experiences that I had in life itself. And again, I'm always going to credit that back and go back to the root and source of that, of spiritually my higher self and just maybe the path and purpose that I had. It took me through these certain lessons just for me to go ahead and gain and have those experiences. But it's a lot of things that when people talk to me about, it just comes natural. A lot of things that I experienced that, in a sense, I already knew and was prepared on how to handle the situation. Every night when I sit down and meditate, it's always affirming for new knowledge and just opening my crown chakra for more and new information, just allowing myself to learn and dig deeper into knowledge in the universe itself. Again, affirming that I'm a cult and I'm just part of this whole oneness. So yeah, sure, the cliche would be I had these life experiences in terms of the outside is what people would say. But for me, I'm definitely always going to credit it to who I am at the source and the higher self, just a path that was laid out for me. And then these experiences was just for me to go ahead and practice and develop and strengthen in those skills and be tested in those skills that were instilled in me.
Well, I would ask you this. Was there a specific circumstance or situation that led you to your spirituality?
I'm going to say yes. Well, put it like this. In a physical sense, the main thing was, you know, it was just a journey. Towards the end of my freshman year of college, I got hit by a car, which that itself just dislocating my dominant arm, my shooting arm as a hooper. Unfortunately, that changed the trajectory of my career. From there, going to a school that I wasn't really happy to be at, playing for a coach that didn't even want me there, telling me from day one, I don't like you. You remind me of a player I coached before. Me and him didn't get along. So going from all this playing time at a D2 school to this junior college where I'm not getting playing time, a change of environment, a change of culture and just structure from walking from class to class on campus and not having to drive to school. At one point, I'm overweight. I'm not getting no playing time. So my escape being basketball wasn't there for me. I'm dealing with depression. My grandmother died. My cousin died. The school itself had like a black cloud over me. Eventually, I quit basketball. I remember at one point, I'm just at my lowest. Everything just kind of hurting for me. My mother not working. My pops is mute because both his parents are now deceased. And at that time, after his mother passing, was the last of his parents. My brother going back to jail, my uncle being back on drugs. It was just a lot happening around me, sent me into a depression. I actually did have a suicide attempt before where I was on my way to campus one night, closed my eyes, hit the gas, and it was, if I live, I live. If I die, I die. And then once I came out of that really unscathed, it made me look at life and say, okay, maybe I do have a purpose. Maybe there's something more here for me. And honestly, for anybody who's been in that situation, for a lot of us, we just want to be able to get out of the state that we're in. It's not necessarily that we want to leave Earth. And I can only speak on that in the sense of as a survivor, somebody who was able to still be here from having the attempt. So the other side of the attempt, but it's just wanting to get away from the things that we felt like was holding us down, the things that were so weighted, the things that we felt like was never ending, just really wanting at the end and happily kind of releasing and leaving my life in the fate at that point. It made me realize, all right, clearly I'm still here for a certain reason, for a certain purpose. I was able to get everything that I was feeling out my system. And from there, just start moving forward with life. And that's when I really started attacking everything with such a head-on mentality. And gratefully, success after success, accomplishment after accomplishment. So that whole period, which was really 7 months in terms of being at a school that I loved, something that I was super grateful to be at, to now being in this environment that was very, very toxic, an environment that just was not for me, and making a complete 180 with my life to find myself happily back to my first school, six-pack, dunking consistently, starting, eventually being an all-conference, all-American player in nominations, getting contracts to go play professionally and go overseas. So I was really realizing and seeing just out of these, say, 4 to 6 months of trials, tribulations, to the triumphs and success that came 8-9 months later.
And you see, that is a beautiful story, because you know, for a young guy at your age, you know, to experience what you experienced and come out on top. And like when I met you, to me, you was wise beyond your years because of the questions you asked. It's not because normally, you know, people would ask questions and, you know, you just answer the questions. But the questions you asked, they had depth to it. You didn't ask any normal question. You asked questions, you know what I mean, that would help you. You know what I mean? And next thing I know, months later, you just pumping out books.
Word. Pumping out books. Book after book after book.
It was to the point, like, you were a 6-time published author. I'm still on book number 4. You know what I mean? And I've been in the game for over a decade now. But just the mere fact you took the gems that I gave you and you was able to run with, I'm uber proud of you. That's why I'm celebrating you. I'm looking at you as a living legend, because I'm not saying that's unheard of, but just the mere fact I can say I was a witness. I witness, you know what I mean, your growth, your evolution as a man. I'm truly proud. And the things that you're doing, you are a shining example for the melanin community, because you know, for a young man at your age in your mid-20s, when I was in your mid-20s, I still didn't understand the importance of words. I understood that words can hurt people's feelings. Words can create chaos. But I didn't comprehend the true fashion of words on how they can uplift a person or how it can downplay a person as well. And the spiritual connotation to it, and to see how you've been in on your finding knowledge yourself, and as well as using words to uplift the community and embolden them, man, I think that's super dope to me. You know, super dope to me. Is it fair to say we can give your parents credit for
definitely
for being mature beyond your years?
Definitely. And ironically, what I say in my first book was it was what my parents didn't know. It was their ignorance and what they didn't give to me, which really allowed for me to develop, really allowed for me to go learn. I definitely was raised in a household of mad love, but at the same time, both my parents being very independent people themselves. So raising me to be independent. And then just the different aspects of my parents that I noticed. I actually would even say even more so my grandfather's. Shout out to therapy. One of my assignments, should I say assignment to come to therapy? Yeah, either way. One of my assignments for therapy was to go ask my father more about his father. And then I said, all right, you know, I want to know from my mother too, because my grandfather on my mother's side passed last year. So I just really wanted to know more about the men in my family.
May he rest in power. May he rest in power.
I wanted to know more about the men that I have this blood from in general. And then I'm learning more and more and more about them. And just realizing, oh, okay. I'm even more like my grandfather, especially a combination of my grandfathers, than I am my parents itself. But again, gratefully, my parents have experience in these two individuals, which are the components of me, that they're able to recognize and identify and let me go out, let me be free, giving me, really, I wouldn't even say I had a leash. My parents gave me so much freedom. It was just me who didn't care to be out in the streets. I didn't care to be out in the mix of what was going on. I'd rather be at home. Really, I'd rather be at the gym at the time, but I'd rather be at the gym. If not the gym, I'd rather be home studying, researching, developing basketball until that became information itself.
And look at you now. Look at you now. Six books deep. Public speaker. You know what I mean? You have your own course. You teach others how they could go about being their own bosses, being their own, you know, being their own, doing things on their own by self-publishing. I think that's uber dope. Did you see this for yourself 10, 15 years ago?
Definitely not. Which is funny because pretty much everything that I've created in the last 4 or 5 years since I really started this journey itself, I didn't see any of this coming. None of it was anything I really had intention on doing. I did always say growing up I was going to own a business. But if you would have asked me at 14 years old, the best I could tell you was I plan on owning a business. The best I could tell you, well, 16 years old, best I could tell you is I plan on owning a business and I'm locked in and focused on going where basketball could take me. But I know for sure I'm gonna own a business. I didn't know at 21 I was going to write my first book. Clearly and obviously, I didn't know all of what was going to happen to me at 19 years old. I didn't realize or know that I was going to be at six books going into 25 years old, really 24, but going into 25 years old at six books. I didn't know I was going to have 300 people that came through my self-publishing class. I didn't know I was going to have 100 people that took the class and published their book in the first year. All these things are just blessings, honors, accomplishments that I never seen coming. And gratefully, it just worked that way. nothing that I had planned, nothing that I had intended to do. It was just happening, and I just kept flowing with it and taking it as far as I could go with it.
Man, that is so dope. If your 10-year-old self could see you right now, what would your 10-year-old self tell you?
My 10-year-old self would definitely tell me, hey, I want to know more about and I want to be more like you. I think what you're doing is cool. And I'm not really even much of a talker. The irony of me being a public speaker. But that's something I also got from one of my teachers in high school telling me that, yo, you don't really talk much, but when you do talk, it's powerful. You're going to be a great leader one day, because that is a key characteristic of them. But in terms of my 10-year-old self, I'm just a kid playing football, basketball, and baseball who I would have saw me. And I just would have been amazed at the fact that, like, wow, look at, like, his physique and look at him having a beard and look at him having tattoos. I would have just saw that. And if I would have saw me playing basketball, said, oh, I kind of like how he plays. I want to be like him. Then if anything, I would have just told myself, hey, I want to develop kind of like you. I wouldn't have said it, but I would have been thinking that, hey, I want to be like you. I want to develop more like you.
Yeah, that's fair to say. So let's reverse the roles. What would you at this present moment tell the 10-year-old you if you had a chance to go back in time and speak to him? What advice would you give him?
It's this thing called Bitcoin that's going to come around like 2012, 2013. And go buy. As soon as you start working, go buy it. Go buy Bitcoin. Outside of that,
that's really my answer.
I'm really telling young me, yo, when you hit 16, 17, and you start working at 17, it's something called Bitcoin. It's going to be something called Coinbase. Go buy Bitcoin. Put your whole first check into it. Don't go buy the sneakers that you're going to go buy. Buy Bitcoin. Or maybe I can't tell me don't go buy the sneaker, but I'm going to tell me, hey, take at least half your check and just buy Bitcoins. But that's not. Nah, that really would have been it. But if I'm going off of something less financial and less retrospect like that, in terms of just words of encouragement, I'm going to tell me, yo, push. Just keep pushing, because you're going to see a lot of successes that you may have not seen coming by the time you start hitting, really, 15. By the time you start hitting 15, you're going to start realizing and seeing, okay, I'm a little different than the environment or maybe the people that I'm around.
No, that is true. But you know what? What I've come to the conclusion is that, you know, we as human beings, we really don't start figuring things out till like we in our 20s, you know, when we older, and then we start getting our own independence, and we starting to realize like everything, a lot of the things our parents used to tell us. Like, I remember my parents used to tell me, do not rush my childhood. And that's what I literally did. I rushed my childhood. So by the time I got into my adulthood, I felt like my childhood went by so quickly, but it really didn't go by so quickly. I wasn't patient enough to enjoy it and immerse myself in it. So my childhood, you know, but you know, I just say that to say is that it is like your generation. I mess with your generation heavy, because I feel like my generation is a generation of curse breakers, and your generation is just going to go on and just be the greatest generation to date. Because y'all brave. Y'all brilliant. You know what I mean? There's so much about you guys that I won't use the term envy, that I appreciate about you guys.
You know what's funny? Not even my generation specifically, but the generation 1 to 2 years younger than mine are the ones that I really see going off and breaking these certain things. Because I would say with your generation, there was a lot of people who realized and started understanding where and what the generational curses were. Maybe not knowing specifically how and having all the answers on how to break them, but definitely making changes for yourselves that then trickled down to that next generation, which then came down to me. And a bunch of people realizing, identifying, all right, this is what I see that older generation did, where they went wrong, what they did right. Let me take that, apply that to myself. That honestly, this generation under me, the fearlessness that I see of them, the confidence, the thirst for knowledge, it's amazing to me. Those are the ones that I have so much respect for. And something I've always found ironic, I never got why so many people say or speak on some of these leaders and talk about, wow, they're so young doing this, or wow, that person is so young doing whatever they're doing. Because you look at the Biggies, the Pacs, you look at people like Kwame Ture, well, he was a little older.
Yep.
You look at people like Huey Newton and Fred Hampton. There's so many people.
I know, they were so young when they started.
There was a lot of people that was less than 25 when they started, when they was really making a big impact on the world. It was always interesting to me for the older generation to see the younger generation.
Fred Hampton didn't even see 21. As much as they did. I don't think Fred Hampton see 21. Yeah, I think Fred Hampton was gone by his 21st birthday. So to see you guys, because to me, y'all my children. So when I see you guys developing, evolving, I love it. It gives me not cause to pause per se, but it makes my optimism go to another level. Despite what's going on on this planet, where there's, you know, still there's more killings, more this, more that, you know, at times, you know, we're so stuck at looking at the negative, and sometimes we don't see the gem within that negative. So, you know, we don't see that gem within that negative, which is dig deep underneath, buried underneath that negative. So sometimes we got to dig it out, uproot that negative from the ground.
I got a quote that went viral. That's the crazy part. That's one of the things I be hating about social media sometimes. I got a couple quotes that I posted on my page that then went viral, but people, you know, taking somebody's words and using it for themselves. But I had a quote where we were saying, yo, the reason why you can't is are saying that we're not missing hustles, whatever. They're not gone. You just not looking for the Nipsey Hustle in your environment. You're not identifying the Nipsey Hustle in your environment because you're looking for the person that already got it rather than a person trying to get it. A lot of people don't realize what it takes in terms of pouring into somebody, uplifting somebody. A lot of our, well, not even a lot of, our leaders were part of organizations and part of groups and communities that were pouring into them and uplifting them. This is the reason why you were able to get the Fred Hamptons, because you had people who were willing to invest into and pour into the Black Panther Party. The reason why you were able to have the upliftment of a Tupac, or why you were able to have, say, a Malcolm X and a Nation of Islam, a Martin Luther King and the Christians behind him, is because they had people that were behind them, pouring into them, uplifting them. And I think a lot of people don't realize that now. There's so many people who may be fighting for all the clout, really. And unfortunately, a lot of people are only looking for the clout and going wherever the crowd is going. We don't really look for the original pieces anymore. We don't look for originality or authenticity. We don't look for what's organic. So unfortunately, because of that, you have so many great leaders, so many young people who are great, so great and talented in their fields, but it's masked by these computers, these machines. And unfortunately, the average mind is getting dumber and dumber, because it's just relying more and more on these machines and going wherever these machines push them, that they're not realizing, yo, if we were to pour into and invest into, say, these younger people who have the energy, and instead of the older generation criticizing them, but giving them the knowledge and information so that they can mix that with their energy and really go do something with it, then we could really be changing with certain things. But honestly, until that happens, I mean, it's what it is. Ain't really nothing to talk on until people, the older generation, realizes, let me pour into the energy of the young one. Let me give the knowledge to the young one who has the energy. And even the young ones realizing, all right, I got the energy, but let me get more information from some of the OGs.
And you see, that's one of the greatest solutions you could have ever said. You know, for us as a people, I feel like we create so much division through the power of words. You know, oh, you're from this side of town, I'm from this side of town. And we make it difficult because we're claiming things that we do not own. We're claiming things that won't claim us. And then as we're claiming things, we create in division. You know what I mean? We put in a wedge between ourselves because we're claiming things that we are not, that we don't come from, if you get my drift. So, you know, what you just explained was a wonderful solution on how we can elevate our people through the power of our words, you know what I mean, all throughout the communities. So I ask you this, young guy. I know you got some projects bubbling up because you steady working. Oh, you know what? Let me ask you this. What made you come out with the album? That's what I always wanted to ask you. What made you come out with the album?
Needed something different to do. So the last project I did was not an audiobook like some of my other projects, but audiobooks and audiobook mixtapes like some of my other projects. The last project I did was actually a rap project called Rap, Rapper, Author, Poet, Speaker, little 8-pack EP. And the short version of that is I felt like I was better than a lot of people that surround me. And I know I was coming from the lyrical sense. I mean, I'm from that cloth of the spitters, the Joe Buttons, the Hoves, Locks itself, what's it called? Well, I can't think of their name. Dipset. So I come from spitters, real rap, messaging, Nas, people like that. So for me, it was, yo, I know this is different than the music that a lot of people are making right now. Let me hit y'all with real classic, but modern kind of boom bap type music. Also, it having a message in there. It's not drugs. It's not killing. Yeah, it's certain trap beats, but that's just because what I'm a fan of. And I mean, I always had a one foot in, one foot out ordeal in terms of I got these people in my family and these people that's in the streets. I mean, I got people that I know that been in and out of jail, people been on and off drugs, people that have been dealers. And then I got this other side of my life and my family where they all college educated, college grads, working for pharmaceutical companies, lawyers, doctors. So I gracefully and graciously was able to see both sides of the spectrum. So I'm able to really give the message. And I figured, all right, shout out to my man's Locke. He was the one that told me to rap. I'm going to use this as another medium to try to deliver the message. Well, not even try, but to deliver the message I've been doing. So I put that out again, just like all the other projects that came fast. I put it out June 17th. I recorded the project March 30th through April 1st, did two music videos, had a listen event. Now I put that out June 20th. The listening event was June 17th. All the cover work and artwork, I do graphic design. So I've done all my artwork myself for every one of my projects. That is all me, all my merchandise and everything. But yeah, I really did it just because it was, I want something new. I want something different. All right, I'm going to go rap now. I just showed y'all what I could do in terms of books. Y'all not paying attention to it like I need you to pay attention to it. You're not investing into it like you should be investing into it. So, all right, I'm going to go rap. The irony is, not even irony, the alignment of it. Me rapping brought so much attention to me from people that was around that now in the bigger picture, I work in tech. And one of the things I do is tech. There's a company called Creatives Control, which is a startup company that I'm actually working with and running one of their departments. And we just had the same mission. For the last 4 years, I've been doing everything through my website and keeping this conglomerate ownership over myself. A lot of artists don't know how to create and have ownership over themselves. They want to go get a deal. They want to go find a label, not realizing, hey, if you create, if your music is that good, if you trust and have enough confidence in yourself, bring the people to you. You can get them to pay attention. Not only that, that's why I have my subscription community. I've been doing that for 3 years now. It's only $7.77. I'll be doing weekly consultations, workshops, reads. It's now about to be this writer's group as I'm revamping everything now. But the bigger picture was, you know what? I want to help artists realize how they could be independent. Literally what I did was more of a modern version of what Nip was doing with the $100 mixtape. Only thing is, instead of you being out in the street selling the physical copies, everything would have been digital. So I did my project, and for the first week, I solely distributed through my website, shelbyparis.net/music. You can only listen to it from there. I did 10,000 streams in my first week. That was just listening through the website, plus a couple of the music videos that was on YouTube and the lyric videos. And it was, I was able to take that data that now I can go talk to artists and say, look, you'd be scared to put your project out. You don't realize what you can do independently. All these labels are distribution companies. But there's other forms and other ways to distribute. You don't have to go through even a Bandcamp. You don't got to go through SoundCloud where you're not getting no money from it. So it was, you know what? I'm going to do everything right through my site. Let me show you how this works and how this goes. And let me go ahead and create the sample for myself so that I could go pitch and talk to other people who are also in these creative lanes looking to do these certain things.
Like the great Jigga said.
Bigger and tech answer.
Like the great Jigga said, I show you how to do this, son.
Show me.
Show you how to do this, son. Like, I'm uber proud of you. Man, I know you got more projects in the woodworks, man. Please tell the people what you got going on and what you're currently working on besides this album you just dropped just a mere few months ago, right? Yeah, a few months ago.
What I'm working on right now is actually, I've been recently revamping my website again with this tech company that I'm working with. It's focused on helping people just create in terms of course creation, website creation, logos, and other kind of graphic design, stuff like that, and self-publishing. So right now I've been revamping everything so that I can get ready to be teaching that class again with and through them, along with independently again as well. So the classes will be opening back up. The last 2 weeks, I've just been gearing up to get ready for September. Around the end of September, I plan on getting back to teaching the live classes, but people can go on my website and watch the class itself. But right now, the focus is the class. I will definitely admit this whole TikTok era of things definitely had me discouraged some, because I'm not about to get on here and dance. I'm not about to do all this flamboyant and flabbergasted act so that I could try to draw an attention. Nah, that's not the type of person I am. I'm somebody that's really right to the point. And I'm a basketball player. I'm right to a bucket. You want to know how to do something? Come talk to me. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. We don't need to be talking for long. The more concise I can give you the information, the more time you have to go apply it, the more time you get the benefit from the fruits of the work that you put in. So right now, it's really just focus on the tech stuff, growing that, getting everything ready, rebuilding the brand, recreating the identity, getting back to everything I was doing before, and starting to just really promote the class. The class is going to be the thing I focus on because, like I said, man, 300 people that came through the class, over 100 people that published a book within the first year coming through the class. Like, I have the accolades and things to speak for it. I got 6 books myself, the owl book, the audio book, mixtape. I co-authored a book. I ghostwritten 3 books. So now it's like, all right, I mean, you go on Amazon, my name is on a bunch of, my name is on multiple people's books. So it's like, all right, let's get back to the class. Let's get back to the bread and butter.
Yeah, big dog. Yo, I'm proud of you. Well, what I ask you is, you know, with all that being said, where you got all these projects, where can the people reach out to you? Where can they, you know what I mean, communicate with you? Like via emails, your Instagrams, your Facebook, all the platforms that they can reach out to you.
All my social media platforms is the Hip Hop Author, THE Hip Hop Author. You definitely got to type the in. And then on YouTube, it's just my name, Shelby Paris, P-A-R-R-I-S, and Shelby, S-H-E-L-B-Y. And then my website is just my full name.net. So shelbyparis.net. They could go there. They could look at all my information. Again, I'm highly encouraging people to subscribe for the community. Again, independence is why I don't go through a Patreon. I don't go through an OnlyFans, a Bandcamp. I don't go through none of that stuff because, again, it's creating a conglomerate. Why give away? And it's what I'm trying to help other people with. Why give away 6 to 25% of yourself to a company when they literally just there, when I could fully have 100% of my royalties, 100% of my income from my own website? So everything is really through my website. Again, that's shelbyparis.net, Paris with 2 R's, P-A-R-R-I-S.net. They can see everything there. The self-publishing class, self-publishing information. The website is still being revamped and worked on right now to make it a little easier for people to reach out to me and contact me for ghostwriting. They can email me. They can DM me. I'm going to even tell you right now, I'm not responding to the DM if it's not business. If it's not you specifically asking your question and what it is, like, it ain't no time to waste. So, yeah, they can reach me through all my socials. Again, as the Hip Hop Author. And then my website, shelbyparis.net. My email is on there, which is info@shelbyparis.com. So however people want to reach me, whatever work they want to do. And I have a lot of things already on the website and automated for people so they can check out the books. I know we didn't talk too much about the book specifically, but I have a 3-book series called Change the Subconscious and Accomplish, which is focused on rewiring
the subconscious. You know what? Go ahead and talk about it. By all means, I forgot about the 3 books. Go ahead.
That's all right. Like I said, yeah, my focus is just teaching the class right now, but the books itself, like I said, I have a 3-book series called Change the Subconscious and Accomplish, which is focused on rewiring the subconscious mind for new automated responses. I've studied psychology for 9 years now, sociology for 8 years. And the information I teach is backed by the science called epigenetics, which shout out to Joe Dispenza being the godfather of it. And it's saying that our environment has a greater effect and impact on us than it is our genetic cells itself, that we can literally genetically alter ourselves based off of the things that we internalize and, you know, the things that we surround ourselves with. So we'll have a different response and reaction to it. So that's the main thing that I teach itself. But the first book, Change the Subconscious and Accomplish, the first book of the Change the Subconscious and Accomplish series is just focused on TDA, thought, declaration, action, gaining control of the thought, recognizing and being able to affirm and be definite in what you state, declaring. And then the last part being actions, making sure your actions align with it. The next one, Unavoidable Truths. With that book, I talk about life, death, reincarnation, quantum leap and quantum physics, oneness, mastering sexual energy, tantra, the cosmos, all those type of things. And then the third book of the series is more of a journal, but it's just polishing you off, giving you these last bits of information you need to go ahead and continue to apply for yourself. I definitely recommend reading the books in order, starting with the first one, which is the blue one. And even when you read the book and you look at, there is just the color schemes. There's a specific reason for that. If you know the colors of spirituality, I'll say, and from the chakras, what those colors relate to. So each book is specifically colored for a specific reason, along with the numerology in the books in terms of it being 117 pages for one, which is the number 9, the other one being 33 pages, and the other one being 118 pages. So going into 0. So what that's teaching you. And then I also have the Man Amongst Girls, The Thoughts of a Good Man in Female's World, which is just speaking on the masculine and feminine energies. That's not a dating book. That's literally speaking on a connection of the masculine and feminine energies so that you can recognize these parts of yourself and connecting them into oneness and creating your yin and yang and the balance within yourself. The next book is the self-publishing book, So that book is there for everybody in terms of being able to go publish their own book. And then the last book is my autobiography, Write My Pains Away. That's the sixth book, and that's the one that's telling you just who I am, my life story, and how we got to where we got to in such a short period of time. Plus, I think that is one of the best things to read in terms of acknowledging and learning all these things in one, because it's giving you the life lessons, but it's really teaching throughout the book as well. It's not just sharing my story, but really specifically saying, hey, this was the lesson I got from this. This is what I recognized, this is what I identified, and really telling you what I learned and what was learned. And all that connects to why the books are there anyway. So you read the books, you go from the first one to the last one. And the point is for you to have control of your mind, have control of your body, have control of your spirit. Once you've done that, you balance yourself, masculine and feminine. Then you go write your own story. And then you could go to my story so that you can see how this all will affect you and shift you. The books are literally written in a spiritual sequence of and for that reason. They get deep. They get deeper than what people realize.
Nah, you are super deep, brother. And I can actually say it's a pleasure knowing that I got you in the corner. It's a pleasure to call you my brother, you know. And with everything that you got going on, all I would say is I just manifest greatness for you. You're already great. It's just that there's more greatness for you to attain to. So, you know what I mean? And just know I got broad shoulders. If you need to stand on my shoulders, by all means, if I can propel you to greatness or elevate you to greatness by any means necessary, I'm all for it, because I'm here to help my people. And the generations coming behind me, I'm helping them to
be greater. You know what Hov told us? A midget standing on the shoulders of a giant can see much farther than I am.
It's real. You know what I mean? It's real. It's real. And to see folks like yourself, like when it's time for me to transition, I know I can transition in peace, because your generation is going to hold us down. And then the generation coming behind you, y'all going to be such a wonderful example for them that y'all won't have to go through all the hardship we have to go through. But I'm just grateful that, like, folks like yourself, young guys like yourself, opening your eyes to what it is and moving accordingly, man. Kudos to you, brother. Kudos to you, man. I just want you to know that you're a living legend in my eyes.
I appreciate that greatly. That's why I always talk heavy with certain things. Come on, yo, Shov did that. I love Hov so much. Shov did that. That's what all this is about. At this point, it's not just having a game for myself and applying everything I did, but at this point, it is teaching it. And, you know, it's a hustler still. Shout out to one of my mentors, Preem. Tales of a Hustler, man. That's coming soon. Shout out to him. But it's just the hustle. I got a hustler spirit, period. That's all it is.
But you heard what Hov was saying. You know, sidebar, you heard what Hov was saying on that track. He was literally saying that his boys made that sacrifice. They know he was the star on the team. They allowed him to shine because they know once he shined, they will shine. Mm-hmm. If only we had that understanding as a people.
Facts. It's a team, man. I guess one of the last gems I give to you before we get off, but that's one of the main things I've been talking to people about. It's unfortunate, but this is the reason why we as Black people continue to hold ourselves back. Unfortunately, so many people want to just be that alpha and be in that certain leader role, but not realizing that everybody has a role and position to play on the team itself, not realizing that we got to invest into our own, not invest into our own in the sense of you bought one bar of soap, but realizing and acknowledging that, hey, if I see somebody worth it, because that's the thing that Rockefeller showed us that a lot of people don't peep. Hov was the talent. You got Biggs, you got Dame, you got Kareem, you got everybody else around. Your Hov is the talent. All right, Guru, the engineer. We're going to run plays off of that. We got Bleak coming in. All right, we're going to focus on the talent and realizing that we all have a role to play. But Dame said that on, what is it? Champions. He said it on Champions. He said, what y'all thought I was going to rap? I don't need the rap. My team do that. I got Cam. I got Ye. I got Hov. I got Beans. I got Freeway. My team rap. and is realizing the position and role that you play within the team itself, realizing who to defer to. Again, things that I learned from basketball, things that you learn from sports. Again, I can't speak on every other sport, but I know basketball for sure in terms of learning, oh, that player's hot, let me defer to them. Let me let them go ahead and put the work in and get right for us. And then once they start to cool off, now it's my turn to pick them back up or carry the load in my own sense. So once more people realize the team aspect of that and everybody playing their role, it's a lot to win.
Man, it's okay to set the pick.
Exactly. It's okay to set the pick.
It's okay to set the pick. It's okay to box out. Rebound. It's okay to box out.
Every time I go speak at any type of basketball organization, I always start by telling the kids, yo, regardless of how nice or trash you may think I am, notice I played professionally and I was able to get professionally because I was just a great role player. I did my job. If I needed to score, I would score. I'm going to take a charge. I'm going to set the pick. I'm going box out. I'm going to go for the rebound. Even if I don't get the rebound, I at least boxed out that somebody else got it. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to do all the little things that may be needed. I'm diving on the floor. I'm diving in the bleachers. I'm going to do the little things that we need as a team. I'm getting water from my teammates. I'm doing what the team needs to whatever that role is. It don't matter if I'm in foul trouble. Don't matter if I'm on the bench. I'm still going to provide to my team because I realize that it's about how can the team win. So once people are able to realize that and not be selfish with things, everybody going to eat. And once we realize, too, again, the roles, set the pick. That's probably one of the biggest lessons you could realize. Yo, you ain't got to be the scorer.
No, you don't.
Set an amazing pick. If you could get Steph open, we're going to go to the promised land. So,
you know, we just got to play our role. Like you said, my brother, we just got to play our roles, man. Yo, you don't know how much I appreciate you coming in on and checking on Convos with Living Legend. Listen, we got to bring you back home, man. We need a part two with you, brother, where we could chop it up. And, you know, I know by the next time we speak, you're going to have many more things to come by that time.
Definitely more to come.
You stay on your grind, and I'm proud of your grind, young God.
You already know. I appreciate you greatly, God. I thank you always for being the leader, the mentor that you are for me. Appreciate you bringing me on the show, giving me the opportunity. This is actually my first interview in probably 2 years. It's my first interview. Nah. Shout out to my other OG, my other mentor, Leaf. It's my second interview in the last 2 years, and I did his before I did the project, before I released Raps.
Well, you see, that's...
This is my first interview getting back to the books. It's my first interview getting back to it as an author.
That's dope. Look at your other OG, you know what I mean, celebrating you. Bring you on his platform to celebrate you. I think that's dope. You know,
my OG is the only ones who really get me out my seat and get me away from working in the background to come talk. My OG is the only ones that really get me out to come talk. Everybody else is a little different game.
We ain't trying to waste your time, young guy, because we know you got a lot to do. But what, like you said earlier in our convo, sometimes certain words you use, certain things you say, it speaks volume. So when you say it, they already know you mean it. They already know, and they take heed to that. So, you know, like just the mere fact, like I said, the mere fact you can lend us your ear, man. We more than willing to make sure we spread and impact you by any means necessary. Because at the end of the day, like I always tell you, I need you to be greater than me. You can't be worse than me. I need you to be greater than me.
Yes, sir. Podcast coming soon. I got the podcast coming soon. I've been working with it. Well, not, I can't even say working with a team. Contract work for real. And that's his own business lesson right there. But it's a lot of contract work right now until able to put together a team. But a podcast definitely going to be coming soon. And it's going to be similar to how I was back in the old days. A lot of people don't know, man. I was going live for 3 hours doing a podcast by myself, where it was only an hour. You got to end it, restart it, know your closure, know how you're going to end it and wrap it up when you see that ticker going down the last 20, 30 seconds to let people know, yo, I'm about to end it, come back on. I'm an OG in this. It's regular for me. So podcast will officially be coming soon. I don't have a date for it. It's capital right now. So that's why we, you know, just getting everything together, doing everything that we need to do. Building the capital back up. I ain't one of those people on social media capping like I got it. Where the J. Cole? I ain't got it. Where the J. Cole? I can't say the whole verse, but I ain't one of these rappers out here acting like I got it, homie. I ain't really got it, homie.
Man, so I ain't got it. The way I cap,
I manage, I know how to handle, but it's getting back to what I know best, teaching about books, teaching about spirituality, consciousness, the mind, epigenetics. It's getting back to that psychology. I'm about to take two classes right now, supposed to be taking two classes. It's going to be a web development and a psycho development class. So I'm about to get back to studying. And I mean, I'm taking some classes on school just because it was like, I want to put my student loans off too. So it's like, you know what? These are the couple classes I'm going to take. We're going tech and psych.
Well, you know, remember, man, just remember you're already great, man. There's just more greatness to attain.
Appreciate you, God. Again, I appreciate you having me. Everybody that was tapped in, www.shelbyparis.net. Follow me on all socials, The Hip Hop Author, THEHIPHOPAUTHOR. Come tap in with me. Check out the iTrap Books Collection. Grab yourself one of the six books. Check out the owl book, the audio book mixtape. Check out the actual EP, the 8-track raps. Check out the classes, the spiritual elevation guide. If you are looking to do interviews, consultations, whatever, you can hit the speaking tab, book me, tap in with me. I guess I'm kind of officially back as of September. So shout out to everybody that needs somebody to come through.
Now that's dope, man. Yo, that's, you know, we celebrate you, brother. We honor you, man. We're giving you your flowers and letting you know that you're great. And you're a shining example for the melanin community, and continue making us proud and continue making yourself proud of your evolution as a God.
This is an amazing concept, what you're doing with this and the recognition and having combos with living legends. That's fire. I don't think a lot of people get the recognition as they do feel like they deserve. I'm one of the people that I don't feel like I get the recognition I feel like I deserve with all that I know I've done. But
well, you see, I'm celebrating you today because I realize that as a people, we don't celebrate each other. We quick to demean each other. We quick to talk shit about each other. We never give each other the benefit of the doubt. But we quick to give other nationalities the benefit, but other races the benefit of the doubt. But we never give ourselves as a people.
Word.
We don't give our brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt. We don't celebrate each other for what reason or another. Why? We looking for your faults. You looking for my faults. But no, this got to stop. So you know what? If I want to see the change, I got to be the change. So me being the change is by doing wholesome platforms like this.
That's one of the reasons why I had to step away at one point, because it was like, you know what? Y'all ain't listening. I'm off it. You ain't listening. I could go away then. But you got me for now.
Well, remember, you move at your own pace. You know what I mean? You don't let nobody... You move with the flow of how God and the universe is moving with you. That's all I could tell you, my brother.
Most definitely. God, I appreciate you having me on. I look forward
Come on, man.
To
love is love,
next
God,
meeting.
Man.
I look forward to being back on the podcast when that time is right.
Most definitely. You know what I mean? Once again, man, this is the young God. We got Shelby, the AKA the Hip Hop Author. Truly proud of this young God. He's working on so much great things. He got so much more to come. Yo, so please stay tuned, brother. Go support the brother. He gave you the website. His all his social medias. Please go follow the brother. Check out the brother. Support the brother.
Hip Hop Author, ShelbyParis.net. Paris with
please support the young God. I promise you, you won't regret it. And with that, this is another episode of Convos with Living Legends. Shout out to the God Shelby for coming in on the check-in. I'm the God. God with many visions. Appreciate y'all messing with your boy. I know. I have a core audience, and to my core audience, man, I love you guys. Thank y'all for pushing me. I know at one point I was doing this every week, but, you know, it's been a minute. But this is already, I think, episode 34. Yeah, come a long way, 2 years deep, but I'm proud of the fact that I still have a podcast. And shout out to the brother Shelby once again to this convo with Legends, God with many visions. Peace to the goddesses. Peace to the gods. Peace.